Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
First and foremost, happy Easter, everyone. What a beautiful holiday for everyone. Obviously, traditional, huge weekend if you are a Christian of sort. And I wish everyone the happiest of Easter seasons. And we are off to the races. It is the Indiana Outdoor Show. We're faster than a rabbit. See, I'm just full of dumb radio cliches today. See what we did there. Get the bunny. I need more caffeine. We have a huge show today. We're going to be all over the place, from the Natural Resources Foundation and all the great work that they do. Jody Kress, the executive director, is going to be here with us talking about all the activities in the spring. And what about some bugs? We haven't talked about bugs. Megan Abraham's going to join us. We're going to talk about cicadas. If you haven't heard them or heard about this, we have not only this solar eclipse, but we also have this brood of these two broods that are going to come out. We're going to have cicadas everywhere, hopefully. It's one of my favorite things to listen to. But nonetheless, we're also going to have an extended conversation with Joe Caudill, who is our state deer biologist. A lot of that in the news, proposed deer rule changes. And I don't want to take any time away from him. So when we come back, we're going to visit with Joe Caudill. It is the Indiana Outdoor Show. And I am your host, Brian Pointer, back right after this. Well, happiest of Easter weekends. Hopefully you have friends and family and celebrating this most glorious holiday. It is the Indiana Outdoor Show. I am your host, Brian Pointer, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network, driven to savelives.org. You can sign up to be that all-important organ and tissue donor when you buy your hunting and fishing license. Couldn't be any easier than that, by gosh. And you're doing something great. Speaking of hunting and fishing license, something near and dear to our guest, Joe Caudill, our state deer biologist. Joe, it's been a minute since we last talked, I think right around deer season. And
yeah, I think that's right.
Always good to visit with you as our state deer biologist and very highly respected. And before we move too much further, happy Easter weekend to you.
Yeah, to you too, Brian.
Well, I appreciate you giving us some time. Did I see somewhere that you were recognized as for your efforts at our Department of Natural Resources? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think you were named one of the top employees.
Yeah, and that's really due to a lot of the advances we've been making over the last couple of years in deer management and some of the research that we've been doing with Purdue. And so, yep, that's exactly right. You saw correctly.
Well, congratulations. Well deserved.
Well, thank
you. As we have said many times, you're one of the country, certainly one of the Midwest's great deer biology assets, and you're here with us in the second go around. Let's talk a little bit, because I've seen some press releases and I've seen quite a bit of chatter. There was a rules, potentially some rule changes and a lot of things. I don't even want to characterize all the things that you guys are considering for deer season. So why don't you kind of take it away? And we have a couple of these open sessions, public meetings for people to give comment, plus opportunities for people to submit online and in writing. And anytime you talk about deer rules, it receives a lot of attention. So tell me where you're at and what you're doing and kind of where things are looking, where they're headed.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I think we've talked about this over the last several years, is, you know, this is something that we've been working on for a while. We actually started the process when Mariah Bogus was here, and I was assistant director, and then we've just kept it up since then. And, it, you know, it just takes a while to get these through, but now we're, you know, kind of heading towards the finish line here. We've had our first round of public comment, and we got a lot of good feedback from the public. And so, you know, the nice thing about this is, you know, it's a very open process. There's a lot of opportunity for the public to, you know, have comment. Even before that period, you know, we spent a lot of time with our deer survey just asking questions and asking, you know, what deer hunters would support for changes and what they would like to see. And so, you know, this is the culmination of all that work, and it's really geared toward simplifying the deer hunting season so that new hunters who are coming in, and youth, and other folks who may have been out of it a while, when they pick up the deer regulations, it just makes a lot more sense and a little bit easier to understand. And so, you know, the public has another opportunity to comment on it. So if your listeners are out there and they haven't really been paying much attention to this, you know, if they go on to our website, they can find all sorts of information on these proposed rules, educate themselves, and then when that next round of that comment period comes back open again, they've got another opportunity to speak up and tell us what they think.
You know, that sounds so simple, but it is the essence of what you have done so well. And I think all of our departments, all of our divisions within the Department of Natural Resources do this, where they do seek public comment. And sometimes people roll their eyes like, well, that just goes into the round file cabinet. And that is certainly not the case. But deer rules, deer biology has certainly been something that we've been keenly aware of here for the last decade or so, as things have, there's been a lot of changes. We had new equipment introduced. We had seasons change, et cetera. And anytime we can make it more simple, I know there was a consolidation of rules a few years ago where things have been kind of patchworked and piecemealed over the years to help simplify. And I think in your experience, that effort of trying to make it more consumer friendly to the guys and gals out there that are hunting and enjoy the sport, trying to make this simpler, is that even possible? I mean, it is such a complex moving target, but where do you see this going? I mean, it on the surface, I would say, you know, it's not overly complicated, but on the other hand, as part of game management, I'm sure you've got a strategy. What is that strategy for people to understand?
I mean, yeah, it really is this slow change over time. I mean, it would be, you know, ideal if you could just say, okay, well, let's just fix this all at once and kind of go in there and correct. But like you said, there are rules that are attached to other rules that are attached to laws. And so it's just a really complex, you know, set of information to get through and to organize and stuff. And so, you know, the idea is, you know, we've got this round right here that, you know, ideally it'll make things a little bit easier to understand. And then, you know, once everybody's kind of going through and getting used to this, then it's like, okay, well, let's go back in and see if there are other aspects that we can change or that we can consolidate and just make easier, you know. When I got here as the deer biologist and I sat down and looked at our deer rules, I'm like, oh my gosh, these are so complex and so, you know, difficult to understand. But it was just that building over time. And so hopefully while I'm here, we can just, you know, do a slow reversal of that and see what we can fix without you know, significantly changing the system unless we see places where, hey, you know, some changes could be made and improvements could be made.
Ultimately, these hunting rules are to assist the biology of game management. And in Indiana, by all accounts, we have, we sell, 250,000 licenses, so we probably have 250,000 fees or thoughts and opinions. But at the end, at the end of the conversation, what is the general theme? What do you think people, what's front of mind? Is there a consolidation of the main points that people are making that you're taking note of?
Yeah. I guess, if you're thinking about kind of that overall theme, it's one to first manage that deer herd so we're not over harvesting it. And like you said, that's the primary purpose of all of these rules, you know, that are in place. So we don't ever get back to that point where we're having to, you know, reintroduce deer populations. And then from there, it's understanding what hunters want to get out of this sport, you know, and a lot of times that's where the various equipment regulations come from, season dates. That's why we're always asking about, you know, various season dates in our deer survey, because again, like you said, a lot of people have different opinions on like what these seasons should look like. And as long as whatever's being proposed isn't going to negatively impact the deer herd over a long period of time, you know, because that's what we don't want. We don't want to see this, you know, massive decline. Is, you know, okay, you know, can we do this, and how many people want to do this, and, you know, how many people would this benefit? And so, you know, those are the first things we're looking at. And then also at the same time, keeping in mind that deer affect everybody. And so as a biologist working for the DNR, we're also keeping that in mind. And so, you know, having a thriving deer herd, having, you know, this component of harvest around it that hunters can enjoy, but at the same time working to either increase the enjoyment for a lot of folks, because a lot of folks just like to go out and sit and watch deer and, you know, see them in their backyard and see them come around. And then on the other hand, minimizing the damage that this large animal can do. And so really, you know, what we're doing is trying to balance all of those needs so that we can best serve the people of Indiana.
You make it sound so simple. Joe Caudill, our state deer biologist, joins us here on Indiana Outdoors this weekend. And lots of conversation about new technology, drones to try to track deer and other things, equipment changes potentially, or additions. What are people saying about technology and the deer survey that you referenced, which I did fill out and I do every year, is so valuable, and it seemed like it was very heavy on technology and the changing technology that deer hunters are asking to be employed.
Yeah, and so we're still looking at those surveys. So the survey just ended here right around a month ago, and so we're still trying to dig into it. But just looking into some of the early results and, you know, kind of looking at them from a high level, what we were seeing is that the vast majority of hunters support the use of this improved technology, especially for being able to do something like recover a deer that's already been shot. And, you know, I got comments and you could even see it in the responses that the concern is the use of the technology to hunt deer and to have this, you know, unfair advantage or get into the, you know, this area of unfair chase, but especially for being able to go out and find this deer that you may have not otherwise found. it seems like most hunters actually support being able to do that.
Well, you know, we were,
and that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, we saw at the deer, turkey, waterfowl. We have dogs and a service here. We're kind of an organized group of people that will help you bring your dog, bring a dog out that's trained for this. And I've heard of this, but for the first time, I had a hunting buddy who said, "I can't find this deer," and he was serious about bringing out a dog tracker and other things. So technology's changing. There's also new stuff like with air guns. I mean, who would have thought? But I mean, the technology is changing quickly.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and so from the biological perspective, it's, you know, the first thing is it going to have an impact on the deer herd? Okay, and so, you know, that's kind of the thing that we're always looking at with any of these new technologies or any changes, and understanding what that might be. From there, it really becomes more of this social choice. And, you know, that's one of the things I do as the deer biologist, is I actually try to keep my personal opinions and beliefs out of it, because
absolutely,
I'm just one person in Indiana. And so, you know, that's why we employ that deer management survey. And that's why it's so important for people to use those and to, you know, tell us their opinions, because it is really driving our decision making. And we, this year, I think we had right around 40,000 people respond to the survey, and I was glad to see that. But, you know, we've got a lot of hunters who still don't. But, you know, that's what I'm doing, is if as we're seeing new technology, and as we see, as I hear about new technology that's developed, that goes into the deer survey, so then that I can understand what the people of Indiana actually, you know, how they want to incorporate this in their hunting.
Joe, it's always been my pleasure to talk to you. You're truly one of the best deer biologists, especially in the Midwest. And as you talk to colleagues very quickly, what is, do you coordinate with the colleagues east, west, north, and south?
Oh, yeah. We talk regularly. I talk to my counterpart in Ohio a good bit. He's a great guy over there. And, of course, Chad, our previous deer biologist, is up in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
And I've known Chad a very long time, since I got to Indiana. And so, yeah, a lot of us deer biologists around the Midwest talk on a frequent basis.
Joe, it's certainly going to be my opportunity to talk to you, and my thrill to talk to you throughout as these public comment periods come to ahead. Pay attention, get online, find out when the next opportunities for your voice can be heard. Joe Caudill wants to hear from you, as do I. I like to stay on top of these things, and we can't wait to talk to you again and kind of find out what's in store for the fall. But we know we're going to have another great fall hunting season, and you're going to be a part of that. So thanks for being a part of Indiana Outdoors this weekend.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure as always, Joe. One of my favorites, Joe Caudill, state deer biologist. It is the Indiana Outdoor Show. I, your host, Brian Pointer. Don't you dare think about going anywhere. We're brought to you by Indiana Donor Network, driven to savelives.org. We're going to find out about some tree planting. It's the Natural Resources Foundation when we return right after this. Well, happy Easter weekend, and hopefully this is the harbinger of great things to come for the spring. We have so much to look forward to. That's what we like to talk about here on Indiana Outdoors. I, your host, Brian Pointer, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network, driven to savelives.org. This spring always brings great opportunities, not only the mighty morel, but the turkeys and, my gosh, fishing and so many other things, people getting outside once again. No better place to experience the great Indiana outdoors and to talk about all the great activities that you can get involved in. The Natural Resources Foundation Executive Director Jody Kress joins me. Jody, it's great to visit with you. How you been?
I've been great. It's always good to visit with you, Brian.
Well, I know you're busy because I've just been hearing so many great things, your leadership at the Natural Resources Foundation. Real quickly, for those that may be new to Indiana outdoors or hearing you for the first time, what is the NRF?
Well, the Indiana Natural Resources Foundation was created by the legislature to support the Department of Natural Resources. So our mission is to celebrate and preserve Indiana's natural legacy by raising funds to support the DNR. And there are a variety of ways that happens, from individual contributors all the way to corporate sponsors. So always something going on. We have a really busy spring, so a lot of exciting stuff happening.
Well, let's just get right to it. I've seen, you know, over the last 2 years or so, the governor's initiative to plant 1 million trees. We're pretty close. Where are you with that? And understand there's some new corporate leadership or new corporate sponsorship behind that, which always makes it good to push us over the top.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the Division of Forestry really gets all the credit for that Million Tree program. You know, they've been out planting trees for the last 4 or 5 years to hit that 1 million tree mark. And it's my understanding that this spring we're actually going to hit that 1 millionth tree. So I don't know all the details yet, but I do think there is going to be a celebration to plant that 1 millionth tree. And I'm sure details will be coming out about that pretty soon.
And we have some new sponsorships there. I know that so many great people have been behind this from the beginning, but it doesn't happen without corporate help.
Absolutely. You know, there's a list of corporate sponsors that we can talk about. One of the newest ones is Bowles Mattress. Last year, they had created a new mattress line that where when they sell those, the proceeds go to plant trees in Indiana State Forest. So I know this last year they planted, I think we've got around maybe 1,000 trees in the ground, so it grew an acre, and that was only for a half a year. So this year they're expecting more sales, which is going to generate more trees to plant in Indiana State Forest. On top of that, we are doing another tree planting in April with Cliff Bar. That'll be their 8th or 9th tree planting that we've done with them. So they've planted probably 25 or 30,000 trees through the last several years. And it's just good to see that. And one other program that's going on right now is it's called the Happy Little 5K. It's called the Run for the Trees. And it's a virtual 5K that actually started in Michigan and was inspired by Bob Ross's love for the outdoors and, you know, with Indiana's connection to Bob Ross. And
Bob Ross, my gosh. For many people who don't know, Bob Ross, legendary artist on TV, mesmerizing. If you don't know who he is, Google him. Great Hoosier, great history. And I'm glad to see this little this virtual 5K. What's a virtual 5K?
Well, the virtual 5K, people can sign up for that, and the start date is going to be April 22nd, which is Earth Day. But participants that sign up for that are able to run the entire week from the 22nd to the 26th. And when they sign up, it's $36 a person, and they'll get a T-shirt, a commemorative bib number, and a finisher's medal. And then the proceeds from that actually go to help support tree plantings in Indiana State Parks. And I know this is our second year for doing this. And last year, we were able to raise enough support where a couple of state parks have benefited. And I know Clifty Falls State Park down in Madison, Indiana, just planted some new trees in their campground because of that event.
I love it. And, you know, you guys aren't all about just planting trees. It's a huge initiative, and it's a great conservation effort. But the Natural Resources Foundation does so many great things, and you have some significant fundraising coming up this spring and opportunities for other people to get involved. Share more.
Absolutely. One of the great ones that we do for specifically in Northeast Indiana is a Northeast Indiana fundraiser. And that's really spearheaded and led by efforts from a group in Fort Wayne that's led by Tom Kelly with the Kelly Automotive Group, Dale Budson and Phil Markell. And we're going to be doing that in May. To date, they have raised about $1.5 million to support conservation efforts in Northeast Indiana. And we're really leaning more towards land acquisition efforts up there. And they were a huge part of being able to secure 158 acres at Mallard Roost. And we're looking forward to additional property acquisitions with those funds.
Jody Kress is our guest. He is the executive director of the Natural Resources Foundation and doing just an outstanding job and taking the Natural Resources Foundation to a new level. I know that sounds trite and cliche, but so true. What else do we need to know about the Natural Resources Foundation?
Well, we love working with the DNR. There's so many different projects and land acquisition, habitat projects that go on throughout the state and, you know, the many properties that we have. And it's just a great opportunity to give back to the state. And, you know, some of the corporate sponsors we've already mentioned. One other one I wanted to bring up is Moontown Brewing Company that's in Whitestown. They started, I think it's 3 years ago, we did a partnership with them, and they call it Pints for Parks. And funds that are raised through that actually go to support Indiana State Parks. And they're getting ready to come up, I believe, with the 11th brew, which is going to be for Starve Hollow. that's going to be released sometime in April. So I want to encourage everybody to get out there and check that out. They have great beer and great food.
Well, they do on both those accounts. And what goes better with the Indiana outdoors than a nice cold brew, huh? I love the combination. Right. And, you know, for those this time of the year, you know, tax time and other things, you know, April 15th is looming. But, you know, always an opportunity to be philanthropic, because the Natural Resources Foundation, doing such great work, can use your money. And it goes to such great conservation projects. And I know you well enough to know that we're going to have continued conversation throughout the year as the Natural Resources Foundation just keeps rolling with these great initiatives. And maybe we'll even find an opportunity to have one of those pint nights. What's it going to be called up there? Do you know the new beer?
I don't know the name of the new beer or what type it's going to be.
We'll just go with yummy. We'll just go with yummy. How's that?
They have all been good so far, so I have the same expectation that it's going to be fantastic.
Anything else for the good of the cause that people need to know about the Natural Resources Foundation or how to reach you?
Sure, but I did want to step in and say one more thing. I know this big event coming up here, don't want to overshadow it, but the eclipse is coming up, and we had the opportunity to work with Duke Energy, and they provided a grant to the foundation, which went into educational programming for the eclipse. And with those funds, we were able to secure 25 telescopes with special solar filters that are going to be placed at the 25 DNR properties that are in the path of totality. So I want to encourage everybody to try to get to those and check out the safe viewing through those telescopes.
That is so cool. I did not know that. But see, this is why we have you on Indiana Outdoors so regularly. Jody, it's always great to visit with you. You have a very busy spring, but that gives us more things to talk about as we roll through 2024. Happiest of Easter to you, and enjoy your family this weekend, and then get right back to work next week, okay?
Will do. And if anybody wants to reach out or support the foundation, they can go to indiananrf.org.
I love it very much. Thank you so much, my friend. Great to visit with you, Jody Kress, who is the executive director of the Natural Resources Foundation, one of the hardest working guys besides me, of course. That is the Indiana Outdoor Show. I, your host, Brian Pointer, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network, driven to savelives.org. Sign up to be that organ and tissue donor. Don't you dare go anywhere. We're going to talk about bugs. Yeah, cicadas. You're going to hear them, literally. Happy Easter, everybody. It is the Indiana Outdoor Show. Beautiful weekend here in Indiana, and we are brought to you by Indiana Donor Network, driven to save lives, the number two. Sign up to be an organ and tissue when you buy your hunting and fishing license. Joe Caudill, our state deer biologist, with us earlier. He would love for you to do that. Buy some deer licenses and sign up for being that all-important organ and tissue donor. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, we've covered a lot of different topics, from the Natural Resources Foundation to deer biology. How about we talk about some bugs? How about cicadas? No better person to talk to about this than Megan Abraham, state entomologist. Great to visit with you. Seems like you and I have been talking a lot in the last year or so, but we have a unique thing. We have this solar eclipse thing happening here in a couple weeks or next week. Unique to Indiana. And now we've got this thing where we have these two different broods of cicadas that are coming out of the ground at the same time this year, which ought to be an interesting symphony. Tell us what we need to know about this, and why is this so unusual?
Sure. So here in Indiana, there's two broods that are actually going to show up this year, brood 19 and brood 13. And they are going to be showing up mid-May through June. And these are different. These are periodical cicadas that show up in early spring, early summer, and versus our annual cicadas that come out later in the year in July through September. And basically, their life has led to a long sleep under the ground, followed by emerging all at once just to try and mate and lay eggs and pass off away then.
So these cicadas, let's hover here for a minute, because mm-hmm. these broods have been brooding for a very long time. What is the circumstance that brings them all together this year?
Sure. So there's different broods, actually. We've got 190 different kinds of cicadas that exist here in the United States.
190?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. And worldwide, there's over 3,000 they've counted so far. But the way that this particular organism functions is they try and all emerge at the exact same time, because the theory then would be that the predators wouldn't be able to eat all of them before they were able to mate and make more of their own. So these two broods that are showing up this year, and why it's so different, is because we've actually got a 13-year brood and a 17-year brood emerging at the same time. So that, between all the different species, and within each of those broods, several different subspecies exist. So all of these guys are going to be emerging at the exact same time. They're all going to be singing, looking to mate, and basically all going to be causing quite a ruckus.
The turkeys will love it.
Yes, of course, and some of the other predators as well. So we'll have nice fat predators for the next summer. And then they'll have to go back to scrounging for smaller things to eat next year.
Well, I know that this is Mother Nature at her best. It's a very, very unusual cycle. And people will complain, oh, it's so loud and they make a mess and all this other stuff. But I think it's kind of cool. And we do have these annual cicadas, as you talk about, but this is going to be something else. What can people really expect? I mean, will they literally all come out of the ground at the same time and we can't hear ourselves think, or is this going to be a slow roll?
So it will get loud in certain parts. Now, distribution maps of these two species show that Illinois is actually going to have a harder time with these guys than we will. Right now, it kind of looks like when you look at some of the historical maps of the last time the 13-year cicada came out in 2011, they were tracking where they were finding them. And those guys showed up in southwest Indiana. And then brood 13 was here 17 years ago, and they showed up in northwest Indiana. So we might not hear as much of it as our neighbors to the west would have, but they could still show up and be kind of loud. Remember now, just because it's a 13-year cicada doesn't mean that it won't show up on 11 years or show up at 15. There's some outliers there as well. So that could be following years that would be just as loud as this year as well.
Well, this is what we call job security for a state entomologist. I learned something every day. I am going to use in a sentence sometime this weekend that there are over 3,000 varieties of cicadas in the world. How many in the United States?
190.
There you go. See, now we've given you a wealth of inconsequential knowledge, but it's so important. These are not harmful to humans. These are not harmful to humans, right?
Not at all. No, they don't have any kind of piercing parts. They're horrible flyers, and they scare the lights out of people because they're just bumbling around and they're not very good at it. They're also seem to be attracted to some noises. So if you're out mowing your yard or you're out using a leaf blower, you might attract them to you. Those are basically the sound frequency is similar enough to the mating call that they might end up finding you instead of a mate.
Megan, you are always just a thrill to talk to, and I know this is a very busy time for you, and a lot of people go, what does the state entomologist do besides talk about and wait for these 13-year cicadas? Not at all. Your staff, so important. A lot of people going to retailers to buy flowers and plants, and your office has to make sure that those are safe to ship and take home so that we don't have unintended consequence. So I know how busy you are and your team. Just real quickly, what is the emphasis when you guys go to these places and growers? What are you doing so that the folks can take home not infected stuff?
Yeah. So Easter is a really big time for us. There's an awful lot of plants that are being sold right now. Think about all of the lilies and all the plants that are gifted or brought around during that time period. This is also the beginning of our inspection season, where nurseries from outside of state are shipping materials in. And that's when we come in, and when it's really important for us to be out there kind of taking a look around. Because as the world gets smaller and smaller for us, and we're able to source materials from farther and farther away, it becomes so much more critical that we're aware of what's traveling on Absolutely. Our plants that we didn't intend to bring in.
Megan, I always enjoy our conversations, and I do appreciate you providing me cocktail conversations for this weekend, and it will be fun. I'm sure we're going to be talking again later this spring, as always. Best to you and all the staff there. So this is another one of those things that people don't understand. Our Department of Natural Resources touches everyone, and pay attention, and thank you for all the great work that you do. Megan Abraham, our state entomologist. Happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter.
Indeed, indeed. We'll be back in touch with you, Megan. So great to visit with you. It is the Indiana Outdoor Show. I, your host, Brian Pointer. We're going to be back right after this. We're brought to you by Indiana Donor Network, driven to savelives.org. I am your host. We're going to be back. I promise. Well, what can I say? I have fulfilled, well, one of the things that I like to do. I've provided you with a wealth of inconsequential knowledge today. It's not inconsequential. I did not know that there were 190 different cicada species. We have two broods coming out. As you heard Megan Abraham, it's going to get loud in certain parts of the state, but that means our turkeys and all the other critters nice and fat going into the fall and to the winter, and that will be fantastic. Many thanks to her. As I said at the end of our conversation there, most people don't realize she's been out and her staff has been out inspecting a lot of different retailers and making sure that invasive species don't get passed along, and we have a problem here in the state of Indiana. So that's what Megan does. Many thanks to Joe Caudill talking to us about the potential deer rule changes. They want to hear. Make sure you find the opportunity to make your comments known to the Natural Resources Commission or attend one of these public meetings. They are so important, and we're going to keep track of the potential new rule changes as those progress. And many thanks to Jody Kress, who is the executive director of the Natural Resources Foundation. They have done monumentally good work. We're going to cross over that million tree mark. And I know they have a lot of great corporate sponsors, fundraisers, and just heard one of the great things about this opportunity that you have to go see this eclipse, because they have some new telescopes at different parks and properties. Folks, remember to turn in a poacher, 1-800-TIP-IDNR. We'll be back next weekend talking about all kinds of great Indiana outdoors.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.